Hey guys, hit the bell. Remember to subscribe. Do the things. If you hit the bell, then you get notifications as soon as the latest episode is out, so you don't miss out. And if you subscribe, it looks good on my CV. Enjoy. Oh, David, you're on.
I'm on.
Hey, listen, it is not easy to get a hold of a Springbok, my friend. Let me tell you.
Well, you got the one with the kids, so you can hear her in the background. I'm apologies.
I know, it's all good. How's baby?
I'm on dating at the same time.
How's she doing?
Yeah, she's doing great, huh? She's all ready for her first big Springbok game. I know it's late for her, but she's going to be all dressed in green and gold and screaming and shouting at the TV. I've been training her for the last couple of weeks.
Well done. I'm so glad, Dave, to have you on. Thank you so much for making time for us, bro. We really appreciate you on the show. You're still the most listened to podcast we've ever had. I don't know why we don't have you on more often.
Well, that's a surprise to me. It's a privilege too, so thank you.
Ah, thanks, buddy. Listen, tell me, most of the old Springbok alumni look like they're in Paris, buddy, but you're not in Paris. Are you in Paris? What's the deal?
Yeah. Well, I'm closer to Paris than I am to Paris. Let's put it that way. No, I'm not fortunate enough to be in Paris this time around, but I have made a promise to myself that I will be at the 2031 World Cup in the United States. That's the one I want to go to.
So nice.
I will be there. We had a launch last night, which was a massive breakthrough for us. And so I was launching into one of a very upmarket apartment block in Hyde Park. So that's what I was doing last night.
So and you're forever hustling. I know that about you. You know, you're always working on some project. You're very enterprising, bud. That's very, very, very cool.
Well, thanks. Listen, not everything works. I suppose that's the life of an entrepreneur. You know, when you've played Springbok rugby, you know, when you've played rugby at a certain level, you know, it's, you know, if you feel like you keep wanting to strive for something that is, you know, where you feel like you your soul is alive. You want to feel like you're making a difference in the world. And so I've done a couple of things that I didn't feel I was making any difference, you know, and so felt like my soul was empty. And so you try different things, and you know, not all of them work, and some of them are massive failures, and then suddenly one clicks, and it's just the one that kind of, you know, like makes you feel alive. And that's where I am right now. And it's ups and downs and failures and many successes to get you, but it's where I want to be, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you're involved with a few charities as well, hey buddy.
Yeah, I do as much as I can for the South African Rugby Legends. I do, you know, I do what I can. I'm obviously a little bit old to be playing any rugby games, but I do, you know, do some charity drives, and you know, we go into the townships and do blanket drives and food parcels and things like that. And I also, during lockdown, actually with a friend, we started. I actually wasn't the one who started, but I joined very early in starting a feeding scheme, and it ended up being a feeding scheme that was feeding 3,000 people a week, within a few weeks of it starting, which was just incredible. It was the most incredible thing.
I just want to say to our listeners that we've been trying to get this podcast going for a while, but you have been such a dedicated father that, you know, Isla wanted to go swimming an hour ago, and you were like, listen, mate, I want to do the podcast, but she wants to swim, you know, and you know, and I think before, when was it? Yesterday, we tried to make it work as well. But you always have these great commitments to family, and it's very admirable. So we love to hear her in the background. We're not going to take too much of her time with you, okay? And ask you some quick questions.
She's fine. She's a very happy little baby. But when she wants something, she wants something. So she's now wants to get out. So I'm going to put a time on it. If you can give me 1 second, I can just put it over.
No, all good. You know, I remember I met her obviously when she was a baby, and dude, one of the most incredible experience. I mean, she's beautiful. I don't know if she still has these unbelievable blue piercing eyes, you know. And I've got a lot of pictures with her, which I really treasure, because it was really, really great that you brought her with to the rugby, and we could you know, meet her. I mean, you know, it's really special. Anytime.
I've been absolutely. I've been blessed with the most incredible little girl. She does have the most beautiful blue eyes, and she's just the happiest child in the world. I take her everywhere with me, because, I mean, I never have to worry about her acting out or, you know, having a meltdown or anything like that. She's just always happy. So it's a pleasure to be able to do these types of things, you know, and go. And she's just like, you know, she goes everywhere with me.
Yeah. And she's really good. She's really good with people. Like she was good with, as a baby, she was managing me. Wow.
I remember. Well, it's only gotten worse. She takes charge. I mean, I went to it's actually a charity drive for a radio station. And I went there and she just walks up to people on the dance floor, takes their hands and goes dancing with them. You know, these kids. Oh, old. Wow.
Amazing. She's going to be, yeah. Yeah. All right, hey, but okay. Talking about the rugby.
So rugby time. Yeah.
Very much have won their last two games by 1 point. Both two games. I mean, yes, I'm sure you watched it. It was riveting. It was exciting. It was nerve-wracking. Why is it a 1 point? Is it that the teams that we played are that good, or is it that the Bucks are struggling a little bit? What's the deal?
Finger on it, because, you know, that French game was probably the most ridiculous game of rugby you've ever seen in your life. You know, it was just that first half was probably the most outstanding first half of rugby I've ever seen. And, you know, just looking at that, you know, people before that were saying, you know, we weren't turning our possession or our territory into points. You know, we weren't entering their 22 and then scoring. And in that French game, I think in the first half, we got into their 22 three times and scored three times. So it's just a crazy game of rugby that could have gone either way. The French, you know, feel like they dominated us. Fair enough. At the end of the way, we found a way to win, and that's what champion teams do. You know, England. It's a different mindset. And I know everyone says, "Oh, but you're a Bok. You always got to be ready." And yes, you do. But you know, it's like anything in life. If you're going to play a game the week before, like you did against the French, to win a game like that, and then to do it all over again against a team that you should beat, and in the weather that it was, knowing that the final is the following week, and you obviously don't want to miss that, and you don't want to get injured, and there's all these things that go through your head, and you try your hardest not to let them into your head, but it's difficult. It really is. But having said that, you know, the English team really played the right tactical game. They played within themselves to try and play the spoiling rugby that they played in order to beat us, and it almost worked. It literally almost worked. So don't read too much into it. I still think we're a champion team. Somehow, 2 weeks in a row, we found a way to win. And I believe we'll find a way to win this game as well.
Do you think it was a bit of a selection issue? Because obviously, I love Le Bok. I'm sure you love Le Bok. He's incredible. And, you know, he's clearly the future of the sport. He's going to be there for the next 4 years easily for the Bucks. But got the selection wrong a little bit with that English game?
It's so difficult to say. I'm a bit concerned. This week, I was hoping for one or two changes. I thought it was a bit rough to drop Kobus Reinach after he's been playing so well, and the English first half didn't go so great. But I understand that Pfaff has done it before, and you know he's got the experience of it, as does Pollard. Manu Le Bok is definitely the future of our rugby. He's just, you know, he's 10 or 11 tests in. You know, it's huge enough to be able to control a game at fly half in a test match. It's even bigger to have the entire nation on you if you miss one kick and you're now playing in the World Cup final. It's just probably a bridge too far for a person right now. You know, people are saying to me about Grant Williams, you know, geez, he should be playing. And I'm like, geez, the guy's still young. You don't want to go and ruin a guy before he's, you know, before he's settled into a system. And you know, he's still getting to find his feet. He's a fantastic rugby player. So, you know, it could have been a little bit there. I mean, we've got such a depth of selection, you know, options. We've got such depth in that it's, you know, if we win, everyone goes, oh, we're great. And if you lose, you know, people go, oh, well, we should have played a different team. And, you know, these guys, Russie and Jacques Nienaber, have been together for so long. They're not stupid. They know what they're doing. They've broken the game down to a science. You know, I mean, I was hearing a story the other day about when Russie was playing for the Springboks and Nick Mallett was the coach, and he was in the UK, I think it was, and he found one of these, back in the VHS days, he found one of those VHS recorders that could take two tapes at the same time, and so which could do a bit of analysis. And so he started to analyze teams while he was still a Springbok, and then going to the coach and saying, hi, coach, I analyzed the game. You know,
yeah.
He was doing it back then. So he knows what he's doing. We've got to trust him. He took a team within 18 months and turned him, you know, from a nothing team to a World Cup winning team. And he's been tinkering, and yes, he's been, you know, he's been doing a lot of changes. And now we got the stability, and I still feel there's a place for Estes in the team, but you know, Diolendi's done the job for us. You know, how do you not tell him not to start off? It's so difficult with all these different options that you have. But what we do have is a unit that have played a whole lot of tests together, where it's a group, it's a group effort as opposed to the team. And so I believe that they've obviously thought this through very clearly to know which team can win the final.
Yeah, and that is the best thing. We got a lot of squad depth, like, that is for sure. And we got so much talent. We've got like-for-like replacements. You could never think in the last World Cup that you could replace Mapimpi, and yet we've somehow found a way. Lucanio Am, one of the most irreplaceable, the best attacante in the world. And somehow Jesse Creel has, not cemented, but he's definitely, cemented his position as the best attacante we've got at the moment. It's probably what separates us from a lot of the other teams, that we've got incredible depth. Okay, the bomb squad, pal, and the 7-1 split. Would you have gone for 6-2, 7-1, or 8-0? Because if I'm Rusty, I go for 8-0 split.
Someone said the other day they're not a fan of the 7-1. You know, it is risky, but at the same time, listen, Quagga has played sevens, man. If he needs to play scrum off, he'll play scrum off. All he needs to do is get the ball to Pollard. He'll do that. And he'll do it quickly. And he'll probably steal a few balls at that, you know, and probably do a break around the scrum and do score the winning try. All our guys are so versatile. They've played, you know, and they've all been playing part of this team. They know every position. Yes, they are specialist positions. I get that. Okay, but man, we've got guys that were flankers now playing, you know, a hooker. You know, I think that the team as it is, it's just anyone can play anywhere, and that's where I think the confidence lies. It's not like, you know, if Fuff gets injured, well, we're in trouble. Someone will step in and be able to fulfill that role and do a good job of it.
At the end of the day,
if you don't risk anything, you don't get a reward. If you go in looking for an average, or you go in, being a bit hesitant, or you want to play safe, well, you'll get a safe result and maybe you'll win. But they've taken a risk. It could blow up. But I'd rather know that they've gone with a risk to win the World Cup than to play it safe and potentially not.
And Dan, what do you make of this All Black squad? You're a guy that's played the All Blacks before. Okay, my view on this is quite critical and harsh. Okay, I remember when I grew up, it was the time of, okay, McCaw and Jerry Collins. There wasn't a single, and Rodney Sullivan, I remember this. There wasn't a single All Black that I did not admire. Every single one of them were rugby gods. Every single one of them were incredible. They could win any game on any day. They were outstanding.
Yeah.
With this All Black team, I don't see it. I just don't see it. Like, I don't idolize any one of them. I recognize that a guy like Frizzell is very good. A guy like Papali'i, the Barrett brothers, are quite good. But they're not Jerome Kano. They're not Victor Vito. And for me, I just feel like it's not the All Blacks anymore. And I know that's an arrogant thing to say as a South African supporter. We get that a lot now. Apparently, we're arrogant supporters. But I just don't think that they've got... I think we're going to steamroll the guys, personally. And I think we're going to beat them up front, which is what Russia's gone for, because they've never never replaced those 2015 Rugby World Cup winning All Black squad, which was the Immortals. Those guys were incredible. But you played them before. You've been in the cauldron with them in New Zealand. What do you make of this team?
Yes, I'm hesitant to be too critical of them, because they are the All Blacks. They have won the World Cup 3 times. Yes, we've won more times in the modern era, but since we were allowed to play, let's put it that way. But I'm hesitant to criticize. They have some really good ball players, but I tend to agree with you that they are up for the taking in the sense that if we put enough pressure on them, we'll really break them. We did it before, and then we took our foot off the pedal and we lost that second test, then we let them run away. They were a team that can run away with you. And if we don't get it right, they can run away with us if they get their tails up. But I think if we put enough pressure onto this team and we steamroll them like we have that first test we played against them here, and then that 34-7 thumping we gave them, if we play that type of game, I think that we will, like you say, we should put them away.
That's my view. Yeah, I think we need to destroy them, and I think that I think we're the better team. I actually think they are the underdogs. I don't want to commit to the narrative that we're the favorites. I would rather us be the underdogs because we do really well. And yes, if we go to the strengths of the All Blacks, they've done really well. And we've only won by 1 point. There's three more other guys, but we've had seriously hard opposition. We put Scotland away, and that's a team that is not easy. It's the best Scottish team, according to the Scottish media, that's ever been assembled. And we put them away for nil. So we are battle hardened, but I'm worried that maybe there's a sense that we are dipping a little bit and that they are on the rise. Do you get that feeling as well?
Yeah, it's obviously in the back of my mind that we have gone through some serious, it's not just, physical, it's mental as well to get to this point. And that's why I did think that there would be a few more changes than there have been for the final. Considering, like you said, the versatility of the squad, they are on the rise. But at the same time, like I said, I still feel that they are fragile in the sense that if you really put it to them, you'll break them. We've got to stand up today. We've got the team. Someone put on social media going, "There's not one All Black that I'd put in the Springbok team." I think that's probably a little too patriotic, but I understand what he was trying to say. I understand what he's trying to say, and I think we do have man for man a better team, and we've got to get into this game quickly, and we've got to put them away. The only reason we lost that second test, we lost that test in New Zealand, I believe, when they sent some of the squad ahead, was those guys hadn't played for 3 or 4 months. It was 3 or 4 weeks or whatever it was. It was quite a while. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was 3 or 4 weeks or a month or whatever it was. And those guys hadn't obviously played at All Black Test rugby level. And even though they went ahead of it, ahead of the rest of the team, they lost because they weren't up to the pace. We need to be up to the pace today from minute one. If we up to them to the pace and we put them away, we should, like I said, beat this team. And I don't want to say easily because there's no easy game between New Zealand and South Africa, but we should dominate the game and win it.
Yeah, I've got the box to win by 50. And I'll get to your
pronunciation.
But yeah, I know.
You know it's a final,
I'm never conservative with the box, bro. I never see a 1 point game coming. I'm always like, box to win by 35 points, 40 points. Right? And it's a weakness. My friend Ben Plum, an Englishman, he's on the show and he kind of brings me down to earth because in my mind, the Springboks can beat any team on any day by a big margin. And I just can never see our weaknesses. So I think I've got him by 30. I think that we beat him.
You're going to win a lot of money if you put any money on that. I think that's for a final. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't be so brave, but maybe you're right. I mean, who's to say you're not right?
Okay, but ox and chair. Now, I never understood. A friend of mine, John, he was in the scrum and he was talking about how good ox was. And I never appreciated ox until the last couple of days. What's your take on ox? Like, is he that good? Do you think he'll be able to front up again? He's obviously winning. And apparently he had never lost a single scrum until recently. I think he lost one. Do you think the All Blacks would have read him a little bit? Do you think he can make the same impact?
No, you can read it. You can read a front row all you like. There's just a certain technique to being an oxen chair that it is your first. You're born like that. You're born a beast. And then second of all, there's a technique you got to learn. And you can't just take apart a technique. There's no way to counter that. He's just a sheer beast. So how do you counter that? It's not a game plan that you can try and break down and find weaknesses. How do you find a weakness in a rock solid beast like he is?
And it's incredible because he reminds me of Os, maybe because of the name Ox. Os, it sounds familiar. And a little bit like Beast as well. There is an element of continuity there, yes. You know, from the Springboks. I don't know how that's happened, but he seems, and also for me, his demeanor. You know, he doesn't say much. He's all about the rugby. He's got this persona, and I think it's amazing. I think it's quite rare, and he's got a mystique, like the Beast had a mystique around him, you know.
And that's what it is. I mean, it's, these guys are unique, you know. And that's what someone the other day made a comment about wanting to maybe, you know, reconsider the way scrumming as how important it is in the game. Of course, it's important. This is the one game where it doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, what size, what frame, you can play this game. And we never want to take that away. I never want to be able to take that away. You need the oxen chairs of this world. You want to be able to, if you can dominate a scrum, dominate a scrum. No, we're not going to now make it, you know, more competitive in the scrum because that's just part of the game. Now, otherwise, we're not going to have Oxes playing anymore. You're going to have, you know, people like you and me, you know, playing front ranker. Actually, no, I'm not far away from it right now. You know, people don't know me very well from having played Springboks. So I get one or two people going, "Oh, really? Did you play for the Springboks?" And I go, "Yeah." And they go, "What position? Hooker." I'm like, okay, got some weight to lose.
You know what? When I used to play, this is my humble brag moment, but I used to play touch rugby with you, which I enjoyed very much. And one of my favorite moments is that you got super competitive and you kicked the ball away because you pass the ball to the guy and he passes it back to you, which is your pet peeve, apparently. And I told the guy, never pass the ball back to Dave, whatever you do, okay? And then you did this faff, what's it, box kick.
Box kick into the, yeah, I remember that now. My only rule is do not give the ball back to a person in a worse position than you. Just because you can't find something, don't pass to a person in a worse position than you, which is what I'm doing if I'm running in behind you and you turn around and pop it back to me. So, yes, I do get very competitive and I get very frustrated. And then I realize that, you know, here, people are here on a Sunday to have some fun and here I am trying to win. So I need to check myself.
Right, but afterwards, when you left, we were all huddled together. The boys were all having beers afterwards, and some of the new guys were like, "Geez, who's that ultra competitive guy?" And we were like, "No, listen, he's a former Springbok, you know, and all that." And then one of our mates said, "Yeah, he thinks he's playing the Tri Nations." Okay,
the
Tri Nations.
Yeah, well, listen, the competitive nature never goes away once you've been a rugby player. Right? That's why I have to stop myself playing, you know, rugby of some form because I'm 48 now, you know, getting a bit on.
Oh, you've done all right, buddy. Okay, we're going to let you go for a baby. I'm sure she absolutely wants your attention. But before you go, predictions for the game. What's your predictions?
I would like to say that we'll win by more than one score. So let's call it 10 points.
Box by 10, huh?
Yeah. I'm happy with 10. I think we'll win it by more than one try.
Do you see a scenario where the All Blacks win?
There's always, listen, it's a final. This can go either way. Let's be honest with ourselves here. This can go either way. Okay, and if it does, we cannot get upset with our team. They've been absolutely outstanding. Okay, to again drag a nation that goes through everything that we don't want to get. I don't want to get all deep and philosophical yet, but for all the troubles we have, to bring. I saw a reel on Instagram, and they were showing the love in Verticommas in the Bok camp, and you've got like there's black guys and white guys and colored guys, and everyone's just loving it, and that's who we are. You know, and then we live in a country where we've got all these problems and people say we have these problems, and you just see how rugby brings us together. And when we all work together, this is the result. And that's what makes me just so damn happy, is what rugby has done to this nation. And so whatever happens, I think we should be proud, but man, it would be so good for us if we could just take this home again.
It would be. And I mean, last time it was on my birthday. And it was incredible. I honestly, I'm 4 years older and I can't believe it, but it would be incredible if we win. And I also believe that we can win. And I think it's going to be an amazing game. And I really hope we can put the guys away early. But Dave, thank you so much for your time, my friend. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for being on the show. And hopefully the boss can do it one more time and get those 4 William Webb Ellis trophies freaking on their sleeve, bro. How good would that be?
Yeah, listen, I mean, I'm on daddy duty tonight, but we win. I'm going to have to be shipping in a nanny tomorrow because we're going big tonight.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll chat to you soon. And thank you for your time, Dave. Take care.
Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
This episode is sponsored by Pelton's Underwear, protecting that which matters most.